Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Taking a walk on that wild side here in this fourth and final hour. Going all Pelicans from 7 to 8 and then 8 to 9 on the last lap with Seth Dunlap. The Pelicans open the season tomorrow, tipping off against the Houston Rockets on the road at 7 p.m. Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports with us. Scott, thanks for the time. We certainly appreciate that, man.
It is so good to be here, Christian. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. Good to see your face, along with Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, you guys. The NBA season is here.
I'm going to start you guys off with a curveball, all right? Throw you some Saints question.
Is that because we have a baseball game going
on? No. Bobby and I were just doing some, like, worthless knowledge information during a break. So, other than Ohio State, give me the school that is best represented on the Saints roster.
So SMU.
Got it right off the bat.
Very good. Scott.
Yeah, SMU.
I didn't even look that one up.
The two Zachs, and we got more.
No, they have five.
I know.
Banjo.
I know. I'm not done yet. I said Zachs. Yeah. Zach Lyon and Zach Wood. That's two Zachs. All right. Morstead, Banjo, and I know we have at least five. I know we had six at one point.
Yeah, you had five.
We had six at one point. Now we had five. I mean,
Who would have thought that, though?
No,
Joshua Reeves.
SMU. Josh Reeves.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So LSU, don't tell LSU fans that. They go, why in the hell we got five SMU players instead of five LSU players?
Yeah, right.
Right.
What do I win for that?
Congratulations.
Very good, Scott.
Good job.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Attaboy.
I'll buy you a soda or something, perhaps. All right, so let's start with Jake. Julius Randle, what do you think he's going to bring to this organization coming over in the offseason?
This was a big move for the Pelicans, especially getting him this cheaply in the offseason, immediately after the departure of DeMarcus Cousins. And this is kind of a bit of a breakout year for the Lakers last season, kind of playing for that bad, fast-paced team. And he just slots in really well alongside Anthony Davis. You've seen this team kind of struggle to build around Anthony Davis because his skill set's so unique. You need to find another guy that's as unique as him. Julius Randle kind of is that. This is a guy who's a beast down low. When he sets his eyes on the rim, he is so strong, he will muscle guys out of the way, and he can score. The other thing, though, is he's quick and he's athletic. You know, he's a little bit undersized, but this is a guy who can grab a defensive rebound, get out in transition and run and score in the fast break, something we saw the Pelicans do really well at the end of last year. And now they can build upon that with two guys. You couldn't do that with DeMarcus Cousins before. You can do it with Julius Randle now.
Now, Jake, when you look at strategy, and I think we kind of talked about this on the break, when you look at Coach Gentry, as far as who do you utilize as far as starting lineup, when you come into a game, when you look at Randle and Meritage, who starts and who maybe you think finishes games?
So I don't think anything's set in stone, but it looks like your opening night starter in the front court alongside Anthony Davis is going to be Nikola Mirotic. I think they're trying to carry over the chemistry that kind of five-starter group had at the end of last year in Drew Holiday. You're now adding in Elfrid Payton, but you have Etuan Moore there, Mirotic and Davis. That's a team that can play defense, and they finished top 10 in defense last year. They can get out and run and play some offense. So I think you're going to see Mirotic start the majority of the year. But you'll see Randle get spot starts, and Gentry said as much as well. There's certain matchups and certain teams that he's better against, a team like the Utah Jazz, perhaps, where you can play a little bit more bully ball down low. You don't need as much shooting because they're not a big three-point shooting team. And that's where I think you'll see Julius Randle come in, try and help the Pelicans get a bit of an early lead in those games.
Now, Jake and Scott, you both could answer this. When you look at leadership and the point guard, what we had last year, and you look at Payton, Elfrid Payton, homeboy, coming back home, I mean, I still think he has to put a few more skins on the wall to be compared to Rondo. I mean, come on.
You think,
I mean,
Bobby?
Hates on Rondo? To me, how can you say the subtraction of Rondo is good for the team? I mean, I understand where Rondo's at, a player, coach, player, however you want to describe it. He goes to L.A. with LeBron. But how can you hate on Rondo? Now, you might not be able to handle what Rondo's bringing to the table because it's a wealth of knowledge. But, I mean, even if Payton has success, He still has to put a few more skins in the wall to be like Rondo.
More than a few. Yeah, I mean, come right. on. Dude, the guy won a title early in his
career.
Yeah,
with the Celtics.
And he was the kid back then with the big three they had in Boston. But listen, Rondo didn't show up for 82 games. Okay, let's
right.
be honest.
That's
but
true.
Rondo, let's not candy coat this. Missing him in the playoffs is going to be big if the Pelicans are fortunate enough to get there. The guy's experience alone, he was another coach on the floor. He may have been the coach a lot of times
right.
during that run. He was fantastic. He put up some big games, and that experience will be missed. But I like what Elfrid Payton is going to bring in the transition game. I truly do. I think the kid's got the perfect mentality to play on this team. He's fast. He gets up and down the court. We know his shooting's not great. Although, I will say, he was shooting over 40% from three in the beginning of the season before he got
traded. Was that after he cut his hair?
He had too much freaking hair.
Yeah, that had to throw off his shot.
It couldn't have helped.
You can joke, but I legitimately do think that him cutting his hair might raise his field goal percentage.
Yeah, I think he acknowledged it.
Or something. How can it not?
He acknowledged it.
The Green Wave helmet, which they had a wave that good. I mean, it was just over the head.
If you watched
it was too much
games,
hair.
If you watch a shot so in much. Slow motion from before, that kind of like mop in front. I'm doing it in here. I wish we had a video of this. But like it would cover his eyes. Yeah. You know, as a shooter, Scott, if you want to keep your eye on the rim and you can't kind of have that broken, when all of a sudden you get a wave of hair covering it, it's going to throw you
off.
It's
like another defender.
Yeah.
It's another defender.
They always say hand in the face. He had hair in the face there.
Now, when you look at the final roster cuts, obviously, because I'm like old school, I'm thinking Jared Jack. Oh, maybe Jared Jack. And then you look at his average, what he's done in his NBA career. He's no longer in the fold. So what do you think going with Payton and Jackson as being the point guards? Is that
– Well, you're going to have a mixture in there. Obviously,
okay.
You're going to have – I mean, Drew's going to play a little point, too. You're hoping that Payton becomes the guy. You are
hoping that.
And I think that's the plan. You know, you have Etuan Moore, who last year, remember, he was playing the three – because they had Mirotić and AD at the top when Boogie got hurt. You don't want to go through a season with that again. That's why they just picked up Wesley Johnson in the trade for Ajinsa today. Not an earth-shaking move, but the guy was the fourth pick of the draft in 2010.
He got rid of a bad contract, too. That's what the Pelicans did.
Yeah, it wasn't a great contract. I mean, but the guy, at the time, we weren't thinking it was terrible, $6 million a year. But the fact is he's been hurt and he hasn't produced a whole lot.
So I think when you're looking at this roster and if you're trying to kind of analyze some of the roles that these players are going to play, I don't think anything's necessarily set right now.
Yes, they had
that trade yesterday where you moved out Alexi Ajinsa, and he's a guy who hasn't played for 2 years. So even if he's garbage and the guy you're trading for is garbage, at least you're getting garbage in that's playing, and that's a bonus right there. But also, Wes Johnson's a little bit more money. They can package him and immediately trade him again. So I still think a lot of things is in flux. Even for the guys on the current roster, I think they want to add another point guard to this team. Someone else might get cut. There's a number of unguaranteed guys there, so nothing set in stone just yet.
Pelicans primer, Jake Madison, Nola Jake on Twitter, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Scott Alexander, D. Scott Alexander on Twitter. Going all in on the Pels. You got a question for the guys, 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. They open the season tomorrow on the road against the Houston Rockets at 7 p.m. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Pelicans primer here on the last hour of Sports Talk. It'll continue into the 8 o'clock hour with the last lap with Seth Dunlap, who's walking in right now. And Seth, first off, before we get into NBA, so did I see your Twitter handle right where you now have the Washington State Cougars flag in your Twitter handle?
Yes, I do. And you know what? This guy sitting to my right is going to be in Pullman, Washington on Saturday. So this weekend on Saturday, it is the first time ever that game day will be in Pullman, Washington for my alma mater.
Wow.
So you know that waving the flag
thing.
Tradition?
Oh, yeah.
Happened 216 times.
So set.
A religious experience this week. I was texting with Scott a lot this weekend.
Are you going to call in
Cougar,
sick Friday?
This is a – I'm not. I was trying to find any way to go. I will be here.
Seth.
Scott even offered to, to help me get
that game. I had credentials set up for him, too.
So, Seth, are they truly embracing Mike Leach?
Yeah.
Because
he's perfect.
I mean, he's like a pirate. And there's no water around Pullman, Washington, but
he's a pirate that
is landlocked.
Yeah. Yes.
But how can you not like? Because the Pac-12 is down this year. If you're going to be objective, as far as Final Four, as far as Final Four, but Mike Leach has Washington State in the hunt. That's unbelievable.
I know we don't want to talk a lot of Washington State.
Yeah.
But let's look. They'll have 9 wins. Four out of the past 5 years under lease. That's never happened for them before. I will say this is supposed to be a great week for Cougs like myself. Turned into a pretty bittersweet week, man. Our alum, Paul Allen, passed.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Bob Robertson, our Hall of Fame broadcaster for 50 years for football. He retired in the middle of the season. So
Paul Allen went to Washington State?
He did, yeah.
I did not know that. But to my bukus of money, it just shows you got to get right with God, whatever your faith is. My faith, get right with Jesus,
because you
can't take the money with you. And Paul Allen had so much money. I said this. Now listen.
Here we go.
Listen.
But think about this.
Oh, Blazers owner. You know, it's in the realm.
Can we not make fun of ourselves in a sense? Well, look at Paul Allen, Portland Trailblazers, Seattle Seahawks. I remember him raising this 12-man flag with the Seahawks. He got jacked up teeth like he's from England. It's like Austin Powers. Dude, knock yourself out, go to the dentist. You got to get like pearly whites or something.
No. His money's going elsewhere, man.
Oh, God. I was like, Paul Allen.
Let's get back on track here.
You got to get some better teeth than that.
By the way, $20 billion, he says he's going to donate it all to charity. He's like, nice. Oh,
wow.
$20 billion.
That is awesome.
What does his family say about that?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
That's going to be a fight.
I don't know about that one.
All of it right, dead?
Back to Pelicans primer, starting with Jake. So some rules of emphasis are going to be good inside the paint for big guys.
Yeah, a couple of changes that the NBA is kind of making to their officiating, which at times has been a problem over the past couple of the years, and you never want the officials to kind of be the stars of the show, and we've seen that a little bit more than you'd like. So one of the rules of emphasis, they're throwing out there, is kind of a freedom of movement rule. You see a lot of guys down low in the paint kind of getting mucked up. They're getting held. They're getting grabbed, one arm bent behind their back. They're trying to free that up. They do want more scoring in the NBA, and they want kind of fewer fouls called. So if you kind of call this early on, maybe it opens the game up later as the season progresses. This means it's harder to defend a guy like Anthony Davis, or as we were just talking about in the last segment, Julius Randle, who I'm really high on this year. Those guys are tough to keep away from the rim. You do need to grab them. You need to do other things. And now you can't do that because they're going to go to the line even more.
And you know, Jake, it's like the NFL secondary. They want offensive scoring, and you got to listen. You can play style defense, but you can't hold. You can't grasp what you're going to get away with. And then I think fans just, they love points.
Yeah, and part of it is, you know, they were grabbing guys before they went up for the shot, so it was resulting in an inbound and not trips to the foul line. So you could get away doing that a couple of times till teams in the bonus, and you're preventing scoring opportunities that way. Now you kind of grab these guys that look like they're making a move to the basket. They're going to the line. The Pelicans, and this is really good for them, have not been a good free throw shooting team, even when they had the two bigs in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Now this rule might get them to the line a little bit more because Davis draws a ton of fouls.
So, Seth, you feel like this helps the Pelicans?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, as a big guy myself, I've been screaming from the rafters that the imbalance in officiating between guard play and a play in the paint has just been atrocious. I mean, you watch the fouls called on James Harden, and really LeBron as well, because LeBron's playing a little more inside-outside the last few years, compared to the smacking around that goes on with Anthony Davis or really any other big man in the league. It's been just absurd. I mean, we talked about it in that playoff series against Golden State. It was just atrocious when the Pelicans weren't shooting any free throws. So hopefully this balances it up. And it's got to be great for Davis and also Julius Randle, who's going to get, I think, a lot of those free throws too.
Yeah, so they're going to get to the line more so because they're calling these fouls a little bit quicker with the hope that then it does fade away, I guess, as the season goes on. But that makes it easier on the Pelicans to score. We can dive deep into their offense here. And they were a top offense in the second half of last year, but they were really, really inefficient. They actually weren't as good as some of the numbers indicate when you really watch the film and dive in a little bit deeper with them. Getting to the free throw line and those shots that you get from that and the points you can get from that make you a very efficient offense. And now when you get guys going to the line more, it's only going to make things easier.
Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports, the additions of Elfrid Payton and Julius Randle, will they be able to keep that fast pace, that quick tempo up even better?
More so. Yeah, more so. Especially when you had Boogie in because he slowed things down. Obviously, you saw that pace pick up after Boogie went down, and they were running and gunning, and they were hitting. They got space for Nico Mirotic to hit the three. But yeah, I mean, Elfrid Payton's got young legs, and he can get up and down the floor. The goal is, this is what the thought process was when you brought him in to be the point guard. You can run and gun with Anthony Davis. You should see a lot of lobbing. You should see a lot of up and down on the court. Julius Randle runs the floor well for a guy that's 250. You got guys that you mentioned the free throws. I love the fact that you have a big man, your star. Unlike a guy like Shaq, who I also love, could not make a free throw. This guy makes 80% of his free throws, and he's going to get to the line double digits almost every game. So that's a beautiful thing. And these two additions, I think when you let them sink in, because everybody was so disappointed that Boogie and Rondo didn't sign it, but when you let it sink in and you think about the overall impact that it will have as a team, I think it's going to end up being better in the long run.
Now, I'm going to hold you three basketball gurus feet to the fire, that being Scott, Seth, and Jake. I mean, now, when you look at when it occurred and what actually was accomplished, was the Boogie Cousins trade worth it? And what do you think Boogie would do with Golden State? Do you think he was a headache or he had flashes? He's kind of a modern-day superstar or what? Were you dealing with the millennials? Oh, I'm going to throw that out there. But okay.
Not me.
But if you look at a type player and he's with the team, not with the team, whatever. So just your take overall on what transpired. Well, we're going to go to a break.
We'll do that in 60 seconds.
Yeah, and elaborate on that.
Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports, the last lap of Seth Dunlap, Pelicans Primer, along with Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Sports Talk rolls on here in about 90 seconds. We'll get that answer from the Cajun Cannon and our panel of crew here on WWL. Pelicans Primer with our three guys, Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports, Seth Dunlap, the last lap coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. And Bobby, you had a question. You want to hold all three?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? The Boogie Cousins deal.
You know, the whole what transpired, you know, he comes over and then what we got out of Boogie and now he's gone. And then maybe his future contribution, the rich get richer with Golden State. How are they going to utilize him? But what is your all individual take on that and what came about?
Well, you looked at me while you were assassin, so I'll just make mine brief. I think you didn't get what you wanted out of him on the floor. He was putting up historic numbers for half a season. The Pelicans did win 4 in a row when he got hurt. They were on the way to doing something really good. I think it was it 8 out of 9? You might know better than that when he got hurt. But the fact is, if you're looking for production, obviously he didn't give you what you wanted. You expected him to resign. That didn't work. In the long run, though, it helped your profile. It helped your profile big. People were watching the Pelicans all of a sudden because you had those twin monsters. And then when he went down, it helped Dell's profile too because he went out and immediately traded for a guy that fit the system and fit it well, particularly after he shaved his beard, Nico Meritich. And one last thing, when you talk about Boogie with Golden State, it's easy to get along and be a nice personality when you're winning as much as they're going to win.
He's not getting paid, though, Scott.
It doesn't matter. He's doing.
He made
this
enough
as
money or
a
whatever.
Flyer for the future. No. He's banking to get a ring. You know, he's not going to play for the first couple months. If he does, it's going to be sparingly. And then he's probably going to play somewhat sparingly the rest of the year. I mean, he's going to get. I don't expect the guy to ever play more than 25 minutes a game.
He's looking to win a ring and get paid in the future.
Paid in the future is the thought. But I don't. You ask if he's going to cause problems. I don't personally think so, unless he just doesn't play at all towards the end of the season.
No, I mean, if you're the Golden State Warriors and you're him, this is actually a pretty good fit. They get a cheap player on a fly, you know, on a flyer deal right there. And if you're him, you're going to a situation where you don't have to rush back from this injury. The Golden State doesn't need him. They're going to win the title without him. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
But now he can go back, and he's not having to speed up his rehab. He can come back when he's fully healthy and contribute that way, which I think if you're him is a good fit. He didn't have that many other deals on the table. He kind of bet on himself, and he failed, and it happens, and you move on. Now, if you're looking at the Pelicans and saying, was it worth it trading the equivalent of all those,
for your buck.
All those first-round picks for him, Buddy Hield, another future first, and all of that goes along with it? No, it wasn't the equivalent, the production you got for those picks. Buddy Hield still playing. He would be a very useful player right now if you want to look at it simply as that. But you did send a message to Anthony Davis that you're serious about winning, that you're trying to do what you can, and a lot of this season and the future is all built around him. Selling him on this team, getting him assigned the designated player super max deal that he's eligible for, and to do that, you need to show him that this team is committed to winning. Trading those picks for a guy like DeMarcus Cousins and then the success they had from that, I think does send that message, or at least puts you headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and you can't judge it anything but a failure now that he got injured and he's no longer here.
Right.
But at the time, I'm sorry, these are two different conversations. You couldn't predict that injury.
No.
If you take that injury away, he's probably still playing here. And by the way, I think it was the right move by Dell Demps in this franchise not to offer him $20 to $25 million a year, which is what he wanted.
No,
he didn't get that in Golden State.
Regardless of what DeMarcus says and his friends in the media say, I have sources that have told me
he's
multiple times that they were willing
to
pay him $15 million a year. $15 million for 1 year with an option for the second year to bring him back here. He didn't want that. And that was fair compensation, I think, considering the injury that he comes. I will say this. I heard you guys talking about Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton before I got in here earlier. I will tell you this, and I firmly believe this. I am not being a homer with this take at all. I'm really not. I'm being objective here. I think that Julius Randle is a better fit for this offense over 82 games than DeMarcus Cousins was. I don't think you'll get the historic production that DeMarcus was during his run in the early season last year, and DeMarcus probably would have been more valuable in a series against the Warriors than Randle might be. But I'll tell you, through 82 games, this team is better positioned for success here this year than they were last year. I firmly believe that.
Go Pels, Seth!
Yeah, there you go.
Hoop that. Woo!
Yeah, a little optimism here, Bobby.
Yes, I like that optimism. You got to convince me to be excited and jump on the bandwagon because I think they're a playoff team.
Look, if
I think the Pelicans are a playoff team, okay, but what does that mean?
Bobby, I'm going to stop you there.
It means a lot. I will tell you this. Good.
They're not just a playoff team. If you talk about talent, and I understand with how tough this conference is, you can't really predict how it's going to wind up. But talent-wise, they're one of the four best teams in the conference, talent-wise.
So now, there's a big jumble there. Be like third or fourth,
there's
maybe?
A big jumble there between about three and six.
Yes.
But I think they could, and it's a big if here, guys, but they have enough talent where they could even be one of those top four seeds and be hosting the series.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tell me if I'm reading this wrong. So in football, you always talk about fast starts, right? Teams getting off to a fast start. The Pelicans haven't always gotten off the fast starts. How big will that be if they do get off to a fast start this year?
The first dozen games, right? Because
what it's been. So last year, I think they were 6-6 through the first 12, which represented a significant improvement.
Instead of 3-9 or 1-11
3 years ago. So when you had two seasons where in the first 24 games you had a combined four wins, that is not great. They have a tough test tomorrow night against the Rockets, so it actually is a somewhat winnable game. And I think after that, these next five home games they have coming up are all winnable, and you almost have to win all five of those. There's maybe one tough test in the Jazz there, because then after that, you get another five games on the road, and that's against playoff-caliber teams. So it's going to be tough, and they do need to get off to a fast start because, and I'm sure we'll touch on this shortly, this is a team that's going to have a lot of smoke and rumors about them. Is Anthony Davis happy? Does he want to stay here? He wants to win. Those rumors will go away if this team wins and wins early on.
And Jake, let me tell you, you brought up rumors. Now, I'm looking at a crystal ball way beyond AD and even the future to have a team, because I think we will support a winner here. But I think, Seth, in your country where you grew up in the Northwest, Seattle, listen, there's no way they should not have a professional basketball team in Seattle. So does that even come into play? Now I'm looking at beyond a half a dozen years, maybe 2025, whatever, that it does a significant impact on whether we support the team or not long term. Now you might say, oh, Ms. Gale, they're staying here and all that. What's going to come about? But I know that's, you might say, well, that was 7-8 years down the road. But it does matter whether we support the team or not to have that impact at home, don't y'all think?
Yeah, Scott, and I think you would agree with this, right? This is why it's important for guys like you, Bobby, guys like you, Christian, certainly all of
who
us.
Who admitted he was a bandwagon fan?
Yeah, I am a bandwagon fan. If the Pelicans win, I'm in that number.
We, because we're inside the bubble here in the media, we have to make sure that the people listening out there understand how good and this basketball team is and how fun it is to go actually watch them either on TV.
It's not continental basketball, man. No, it's the NBA.
It'll be a shame, guys, if this city doesn't get behind this team, because I think this is the best team that they've had in there. And I know you had the Chris Paul Spurs series, what was that, in 2007? I think they're right there with that. This is going to be a fun year. And I think it's our job to make sure everybody knows that and get the city excited about it. It's that Seattle thing, that's not happening. This team isn't going to Seattle. It's not happening. Well, Adam Silver said, you don't have to worry about that.
Well, I can tell you right now, if the Saints are winning, They ain't nobody getting excited about the Pelicans until February.
Why can't you do both?
They've got momentum. Well, I agree with you. You should be able to.
No, no.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Between LSU and the Saints,
This community, this area has grown up with that franchise. Had the Jazz never left, they'd have that same energy about this basketball team.
And I think that's a really big point. Like you said, it's a generational thing here. A lot of people went through the muck with the Saints, and it's kind of a badge of honor that you stayed with them during that time, and you've kind of come out on the other end, and now look at the winning football team here. There isn't that kind of situation here with the Pelicans. Maybe they'll get there eventually, but it's just not nearly as ingrained. But you've seen it. When they win, that place gets packed. The playoffs were packed. The end of last season, when they were on yes. the tear to fight and get into the playoffs, were packed. And we've heard opposing teams, particularly the Spurs, going back to that Chris Paul era, said it was tough to play here in New Orleans. It can make a big difference.
I think the momentum they built up from last year does carry over, especially that's why I talked about the fast start. If they get off to that fast start.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you, Christian, and all of y'all. I want to see who shows up for a home game in November, December. If the Saints are rolling.
Here's the best thing. In November, there's a lot of weekends that the Saints play on Sunday at home and the Pels play on Friday night, Saturday night at home. This could be a great weekend to go.
So wait, go
follow the Saints and the Pels.
Okay, on Friday night, is there still high school football going on?
Not in that point. It's playoffs, so it just depends.
Let me say it depends. I'm telling you. Listen, I know the fans. I grew up here, 50 miles south of New Orleans. And listen, they'll embrace basketball. They view basketball season after the new year.
Okay. This is stuck. I don't want to go to break because this is going to be eating me. I want everybody listening to think about this, and I want you to think about this as we go to
break.
Help
me.
Was Boston a football town before Brady and Belichick showed up?
Hell no.
Was Cleveland a basketball town before LeBron showed up?
No, the Cleveland Indians.
You can be a multi-sport city, even if it hasn't happened before.
You
it can happen.
In a different part of this country. I want it to be.
I'm sorry.
I want it to be.
To say it's a different part of this country, that is disingenuous to everybody here. It can happen here.
I think it can happen. I think it hasn't happened yet. I want it to happen.
But the only thing is the Pelicans aren't the Patriots. And then you got to win
England,
a championship.
You know this. New England was the laughingstock of the football world.
I played the Patriots and we crushed them. They couldn't even fill out Gillette Stadium. They had like 35,000 people.
No, I
was there. Yeah, I mean, in the early 90s, the Patriots sucked. I'm telling you, it does make a difference. Everyone loves a winner.
That's the bottom line.
If you win, everybody wants to be in that number.
Pelicans primer, Bobby Hebert, Scott Alexander, Seth Dunlap, Jake Madison, Christian Garrick here on Pelicans Primer Sports Talk on WWL. Our basketball guys in the house, Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports, Seth Dunlap.
Man, it's been very passionate, I love it.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Starting with Seth, over and under win total for this Pelicans team that you said is very good.
I'm already on record with this. I'm going to go, if I'm setting the line for Vegas, I'm probably at 47.5 or 48.5. So I'm going to be right at 48 with
Scott?
My win total here.
That's funny. I said 49-33. I mean, that's just what I thought of a long time ago, and I'm sticking with it.
So y'all going with the high 40s, Jake? How about you?
Yeah, I don't want to nail it down to an exact number and then get it wrong and then get yelled at on Twitter.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, oh, I know. Trust me, I'm on there. I know. But look, this team has a lot of potential. Just simple as that. They are very, very good. I think they can potentially finish as high as fourth in the Western Conference and host a series in the first round if things do break their way. It takes injury luck. It takes a number of other things. But easily, 48 wins is absolutely within reach, and if things really click, and we haven't seen in preseason, but it's preseason, they could push 50 potentially.
So 49's out of the question.
I'm
48 within reach, but
okay.
I'm going to be the Debbie Downer.
I'm going to be the Debbie Downer. I'm going more 44 to upside. I'm going more 43.
Well, 44 might not get you in the playoffs in the West.
I'm going 43. I just think that 43 wins, 44 is going to be around there. And somehow I think they're going to beat a 7 or 8 seed, but it might not be enough, but I think that's where they're going to be.
Well, I'll tell you this, guys. The big wild card in the West for me is still the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers are going to be this contender that some people think.
Hell no.
And I don't know how many games. I don't even want to predict their over-under.
Listen, LeBron's going to be humbled. LeBron's unbelievable. But the supporting cast, the Lakers aren't there yet. Are you kidding me?
They got, LeVar Ball in the stands somewhere.
LeVar Ball? What the? Listen, the Lakers, wouldn't you agree with, they have a ways to go? I mean,
I'm not putting anything past LeBron.
Yeah,
I'm with Scott. That's why I said I have uncertainty, Scott.
No, wait, LeBron is that good, but supporting cast,
yeah, but Cleveland's supporting cast wasn't
exactly
very good. I mean, yeah, Kevin Love
was better than what
but he was injured. All-star? He wasn't playing well. I mean, he's good. I agree, but I think that...
Okay, well, you put the Lakers and LeBron above the Rockets or the Warriors.
No.
Hell no.
No.
Yeah.
But
so,
I think they're that next team, right? I think they're the next team.
Man, I think this...
In the West.
I mean, I think the Jazz are better than the Lakers.
In the West, where do the Pelicans stand in the hierarchy of being a legitimate threat to either the Rockets or the Golden State Warriors?
I don't think they're quite there yet. I mean, those two teams are so established. You're talking about two of the better teams in history. I mean, Golden State can certainly make that claim, and Houston is darn good. They did lose a lot of defensive presence last year. But if you're talking, they're in that next echelon. And I'm not saying they can't beat these teams, but you're saying that's a winnable game. It'd be a surprise to most of the NBA if they did beat Houston on the road, I think, tomorrow.
No, it would 100% would be a surprise. But I think when you look at the contrast in styles, and Houston's one of the slower teams, particularly in the second half of last year, sometimes the quicker team, if you're hot, you can beat them. Sometimes it's as simple as just being a make-or-miss league. And I don't really know if they have anyone that can actually handle Anthony Davis and Julius Randle. You're going to throw Capella and try and get him on Randle as much as they can. And they used Trevor Ariza last year a lot to guard Anthony Davis, who actually gave him trouble for a wing player. He's gone. So, you know, James Ennis isn't walking through that door here to guard Anthony Davis and shut him down. So
you want me to give
game.
You a little LSU analogy that's going to make a lot of Tigers fans a little angry here? Being in the Western Conference or being in the NBA as a Pelicans fan is great because I think there's hope here, but nobody's beating the Warriors. It's not happening. Mail in the trophy, much like LSU can talk all you want. Great season. They might be in a big bowl. They're not beating It's not happening.
Okay,
it's not happening.
Gonna,
this is the best college football team I've ever
seen. You. We're going to have you here because Tua's knee might be jacked up, and you never know. The ball bounced the Tigers' way.
I kind of side with him on
this.
I've said that for a couple weeks.
Well, then Christian and Seth, we're going to come back here when LSU maybe shocks the world like they did against Georgia.
Well, of course, if Alabama calls up the football two or three times.
Then make you freaking eat crow.
Okay,
eat crow, mother.
Wait, hold on. Did you just compare Georgia to Alabama this year, Bobby?
He's fired up.
What do you mean?
We
got to
go.
If Tua's knees hurt?
We got to go.
Okay, now, I got to look at the East right quick as we go to the top of the hour. Now, the Celtics, LeBron's not there anymore. Is the Celtics or no one?
That's the team, I think. Toronto
has a very good shot, and I think Kawhi Leonard's going to be an MVP candidate. Don't sleep on Philly.
Philly's playing tonight, and
Philly has some star power there.
All right, we'll wrap it up with our Pelicans primer next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Pelicans primer rolls on the last lap with Seth Dunlap. I want to thank Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports, Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast.
Now, we got to do this more often. That was a lot of fun.
It was. We will. And we're going to push out of here. Mark Menard at Master Control couldn't have done it without you guys. And look, Stephen Geller, your help as well. Much appreciated. Tomorrow, join me, Deuce, and Bobby at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort at the new Sportsbook and Bar from 4 to 7 p.m. out there at Biloxi Gulf Coast. And don't forget, these two guys, Scott and Jake, will stick around for one more hour with Seth Dunlap for the last lap. Bobby, do your thing, man. Semper Fi. I'm out. Take
on
us home.
The wheel, as y'all. Good night, people. Who that? Go Saints. Go Tigers.
Go Pel. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.